Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Tell me about the time you were very, very lonely.
Well, you know, I'm not usually very lonely. I have friends, and actually you're one of them, Mike. Can you believe it?
It doesn't always sound that way on the radio, I know, but we do like each other. We enjoy teasing one another.
That's right. And we both have friends and people we work with that we like, and et cetera, et cetera. But this happened to me a time when I left to another country. This was in England. And some of you know that I study in England, and in a little town called Gloucestershire, which is 2 hours away from London. And the first time I went there, I didn't know anybody there. My professor asked me to be there for 2 weeks. And I actually saw him only two or three times during those 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I was in this very cheap accommodations. I was cold and I was hungry, and I didn't know the town very well. I didn't have a car because I don't know how to drive on the other side of the street. And, you know, after a few days, it started getting so dark for me in my soul. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't talking to anybody. Nobody knew if I was dead or alive. And maybe some listeners right now are feeling like that. Yeah. Like, you're so lonely. Yeah. You know, you don't belong to anything or to anybody or to any group. And so I decided that I had to go to church because I was getting hopeless. Mm-hmm. And I never realized I needed people so much.
And you sought out a body of believers and felt at home.
Yes, yeah. I looked for a Seventh-day Adventist church, which is my church. And I found a little group in Gloucestershire. Who would have thought? Because this is not a big city. A little group of believers that were getting together. And I joined them for the service. And in the moment I stepped into that building, there must have been, I don't know, 25 or 30 of them. It was a very small group. I already was part of a community. I felt I belonged. I mean, you don't know the difference you made for me.
I have felt that all over the world. I remember being in Hong Kong in a community. I had no idea what they were saying, but I knew I belonged. And someone found me, recognized that I didn't understand the language, so they translated for me. And again, I felt like I belonged. Mm. If you've never been there where you felt that lonely and then find a group like this of worshipers that make you feel like you belong, then you don't really understand what's going on in Acts chapter 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Because this is talking about the building of community. God never calls us to a singular faith. Mm. He doesn't call us to stand alone. He calls us to community. And as a community of believers, we band together to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, and to share in the labor together as we herald the coming of our Savior.
Yeah, that's why it's so important when you're going through hard times to find a group of believers or a support group. For example, 12-step programs are based on this. The fact that you will have a support to help you in times of trouble. And here we have the first century church starting to create this congregation where they eat together, and they are together all the time, and they're actually selling some of their property to fulfill the needs of those in the community.
Well, let's take a look at this in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them.
Can you believe it? You know,
yeah.
Many years ago, when I was 12 years old, my dad was sent to a university here, Andrews University in Michigan, to do his master's degree, and we had nothing. And we arrived there, and all these people came with stuff for us, clothing, you know, comforters for our beds, dishes, whatever we needed. And we felt we really were part of our community.
That's generosity. It comes from within the individual. They choose to do it, and the Spirit of Christ that makes them do this.
Yeah, it says in verse 34 that there was not a needy person among them.
I only know of two ways to have a church with no needy people. Hmm. The first way is to be very selective about who you let in.
Only the rich people, right?
And which means I'd never get in.
Yeah.
The other way is what they did here. Mm. It says, for there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as they had need. So basically, the other way not to have needy people is people within the congregation seeing the needs and giving of their means to meet those needs so that there are no needy people, meeting one another's needs in love.
Yeah, most of the churches that I know have some kind of community service, and they serve food or clothing.
To their own members or people of the community who need help.
Even our organization has a worldwide organization that when disasters strikes, mm-hmm. whether it's a tsunami or an earthquake, they
should
go.
Up.
Absolutely.
We
absolutely.
Show up. And of course, a variety of denominations do this as well, because this is the ministry of Christ, and we see it here in the first century church.
So some people started actually selling their property and bringing it to the disciples' feet. And we have one of the strangest and difficult to explain stories here on chapter 5 in the book of Acts, when a couple, you know, this is voluntary. They don't have to sell their property.
Yeah,
they're
not
being
asked to do this. This is a voluntary thing. This is not enforced by the government of the church.
Nothing like that.
No. People volunteer to do this. Now, when you volunteer to do this, you can be fed because, after all, it makes you feel pretty self-righteous, I guess. You know, if you're making a great sacrifice for people and mm-hmm. people would look forward to that and look up to you for doing this.
And so Ananias and Sapphira, they are a couple in chapter 5 who decide, okay, they're going to sell their property. And they kept some of the price for themselves, which is actually their right
to do. They're right.
The problem is that they represented it as if they had brought all the full price of the property mm-hmm. to the church because it made them look good. I mean, generosity.
Look
like
at the sacrifice I'm making.
Yes.
Look at this sacrifice.
See, all virtues have this side where Satan can use it.
Mm-hmm.
It is that, hey, you have this great virtue or this generosity or this skill or this talent. Now show off with
yeah.
that. And this is what's happening to them.
So they sold this property and they brought the money to the disciples, but they kept some of the price back for himself and his wife's full knowledge, bringing a portion of it. Verse 2, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
And at that moment, judgment comes upon Ananias. He fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came all over who heard it. And the young men got up and covered him up. And after carrying him out, they buried him. Now, his wife doesn't know what has happened.
She comes in.
And she comes in. And Peter gives her the opportunity to act different than her husband, mm-hmm. to not to be a hypocrite. And nobody would have said anything. They said, well, no, we sold it for so much. This is half of the price.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is what they're claiming it to be. So Peter asks her specifically in verse 8, tell me whether you sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes,
that was the price.
The price.
Then Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed, verse 9, together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well.
This seems hard. I mean,
yeah, it does.
Mike, I have a question. Why would God act this way? I mean, this is the first century church starting, and why did judgment come upon them so strongly?
You know, I guess there could be a lot of speculation about this, but to me, something very holy was happening here with the first century church.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit was moving mightily upon the hearts of men and women and producing in them a great spirit of generosity and care. And they were not to profit by this.
Mm.
And so their lie was not just to the members of the congregation, but also to the Holy Spirit. And it was a misuse of the Holy Spirit's power.
Mm.
And I think by misrepresenting themselves as being controlled by the Spirit when they were actually controlled by avarice, by greed, was something that God was not going to tolerate. No, that kind of impurity is not going to exist within our
church. I think you're right on, because throughout the book of Acts, we have people that mock the power of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
by trying to buy it.
Yes.
We have another magician later on ask,
Simon,
how much I'll pay you for
right.
the power of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, this is not for sale.
Yeah.
You're deceiving, you're lying to God, and God is not going to tolerate
that. I think we see a variation of this theme today by some people who try to control the ministry of the church or a religious organization by their money. I'm not going to give if you don't do this.
It's exactly what I ask you to do. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I had members like that. They
yeah.
say, if you don't build this one thing I want you to build, I'm never going to give money again. And it's important for us to go back to the story and say,
yeah.
look, the Holy Spirit is not manipulated
That's
by
right.
your money.
In addition to what I do here with the Voice of Prophecy, I'm speaker director for Faith for Today Television, and I've had donors come to me and say, if you'll change the focus of this ministry, I will give you a great deal of
wow.
money. Well, God has not called us to do what they asked us to do, and I'm not going to allow them to control us with their money. Instead, we're going to fulfill God's mission and ministry for this ministry, and that's the same thing that we feel like here at the Voice of Prophecy. We're called to do something. The Holy Spirit will provide the means.
Yes, and we do need your donations, but you know, the issue here was deception.
That's
you
right.
know. Now, when this is over, it says on verse 11 that a great fear came over the whole church. And this word church, mm-hmm. ecclesia in Greek, is the first time that is being used here in the book of Acts. If you remember, Jesus had said to Peter back in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that he would have this new group of people called ecclesia that we actually translate in Spanish, iglesia, almost is the same thing, mm-hmm. which of course in English is church, and that this was the new community. In the Septuagint, in the Old Testament Greek, for the people of Israel, ecclesia was the assembly of Yahweh, God's mm-hmm. assembly. And now we have this new Christian ecclesia, that Christ puts this community together.
And that's what the church is to be today. It is a gathering of people in God's name. It is His gathering, and we are to treat each other as He would treat us. And that is, we are to care for one another's needs. We are to band together to bring encouragement in times of loneliness and despair, and to bless the world around us by the gospel and by relieving suffering.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.